God is good. He is so good.
We say it all the time.
At meals.
At holidays.
To each other.
We say it all the time.
God is good. He is so good. Isn't he?
But what does it mean to think about those words?
When we were children, we learned.
Of God's goodness.
How he made the sun, the moon, the stars.
The animals.
But when we take the time to remember.
I can see it every day.
When there is food on my table. When there are people laughing. When there are people broken.
God is so good.
God gives us a place to be forgiven.
A place to be loved.
He turns the lights on for me in the morning.
And he turns them off for me at night.
Sometimes I forget of his goodness in the midst of a world that seems so lost, hopeless, lonely.
People are hungry.
God is good.
People are lost.
God is good.
People are confused.
God is good.
In a world that seems not to notice.
Today I choose to see
the goodness of God.
In my life.
In your life.
Around me.
In the way I can see children playing jump rope.
Jiangkenpo.
Jiangkenpo.
Yes. Today I choose to see the goodness of God.
In the way that people can be forgiven. People can be given a second chance.
And we can be loved when we don't love well.
We can know grace.
In the way that God sets the sun in the sky to warm my face.
And the rain to feed the flowers.
He gave his son so that I could have life.
God is good.
God is great. But God is so good. May you be people who can see God's goodness.
In the sunset.
In the helpful gesture from a friend.
In the arrival of summer.
The arrival of winter.
May you be thankful for the huge things.
The Pacific Ocean.
The Ko'olaus.
Manoa Falls.
A diamond head.
Forgiveness.
May you be thankful for the small things.
A newborn baby.
A red rose.
A giggle.
The kind word from a friend.
A word from God.
May you be people who know that God is good.
God is kind.
God is majestic.
God is just.
God is mighty.
God is good. God is.
The word good is not big enough, but we know.
May we be people who know.
And remember
that God is good.
So wonderful to have those reminders that God is good. You know, we say God is good all the time God is good. But what about the times that don't seem too good to us? Is God still good? You know, let us be people that remember God even in the simple things. Speaking of simple things, I think about my son Joshua as he was growing up and he was in preschool. And Joshua just loved to tell jokes. He really did. And his favorite were those knock-knock jokes. Remember those? And my favorite retort to him would be, I said, Joshua, would you remember me in 1 year? Yes, Daddy. I said, would you remember me in 10 years? Oh, yes, Dad. Will you remember me in 100 years? And he said, yes, Dad. I said, will you remember me tomorrow? Of course, Dad. I say, knock, knock. He says, who's there? I said, see, you forgot me already. But we are people like that, aren't we? You know, you see, forgetfulness is not just Alzheimer's for old-timers. We are all people suffering from Alzheimer's. The people in the Bible are just like that. Today, I want to talk to you about what it means to remember, because we want to be a people that must remember. See, the people in the Bible were no different. They too were forgetful. And let's read what Joshua tells the people And what the Lord tells the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 4. So if you pull out your notes on the top, let's read Joshua chapter 4 together. Ready, begin. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean to you? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a permanent memorial amongst the people of Israel. Will you circle the word remind us? These words remind us because, you see, we need reminders. In the Hebrew, the notion of remembering is more than just recalling something. It implies a loving reflection that commands action. So in other words, you think back, reflect, but it also emotes you to do something about it. In our English language, the word remember really means two parts. To remember, to reconnect. It's like connecting your hand to your arm or your arm to your torso. See, in this process of remembering, we're reconnecting ourselves to our family, reconnecting ourselves to the community of God. It is reconnecting us to the promises of God, and it reconnects us to God Himself. So God doesn't want the people to forget the promises and the miracles that He has done. Will you underline from Joshua chapter 3 the words great wonders? You see, God is all about doing great wonders. Now, we at Pacific Rim Bible College have been doing some work with the Wycliffe Bible Translators. And here in Hawaii, we know them for doing the Hawaii Pidgin English translation we call Da Jesus Book. Remember that? Now, the New Testament has been translated, and we're helping them do the Old Testament. But sometimes, to understand what God was saying, either in the Greek or in the Hebrew, and especially in the Old Testament, we have to go back to the old languages. What was happening in the biblical days? What did it actually say in the Hebrew? And see, the Pidgin English translation gets beyond just being a novelty. It is really an academic exercise, really connecting back to what the words really meant. Now, to give you an example, let's take a look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, from the Hawaii Pidgin translation, and listen to me. Then Joshua will tell the people, make yourself special for Yahweh, because tomorrow he going to do plenty awesome stuff for us guys that going to make your jaws drop. Will you circle that? Make your jaws drop. See, for me, that connects. The heart language connects. Now, we can say great wonders, but does it drop your jaws? Does it really connect more? Now, one of the things when we think about this word miracles, great wonders, in the Bible, those words are kind of interchanged. In fact, when we talk about miracles, we really talk about the signs and wonders. Now, you heard that repeated over and over in the scriptures. Now, there's this very strong distinction in the Hebrew. Signs are things that people can do with God's help. Wonders, on the other hand, are only things that God can do. Okay? A very important distinction. So in other words, when we say that there are signs, it's God working through people and wonderful things happen. But when it's wonders, all you can do is do this. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. Because I couldn't do it on my own. And that's what God really wants us to remember, is that we never lose that sense of awe and wonder. We never forget the miracles that has been working in our life. They're not just circumstantial coincidences. They're not just happenstances. It's really God meeting you in a crisis and doing a miracle. And that's why God really wants us to remember the miracles. And you can always remember to do that. Now, Joshua wanted his people never to forget. And did I tell you? I'm forgetting already. Did I tell you folks to fill that in point number one? Point number one is, see, I'm being forgetful already. Point number one is to never forget the miracles that God has done. Remember the miracles of the past. You've got to remember the miracles of the past. Just this past week, we had the Taste of Pac Rim here at on our campus. And we had an opportunity to present classes for free to the public so that they can come and see what the school is like and see if God is calling them. And it was so wonderful to see 40 prospective students come in and to see people with young excitement and vigor. It's like fresh blood that is infused into the college. There's these two girls that had just come from Pastor Wayne's church planting class, and they're so excited to hear about how New Hope started. And so they asked my wife and says, "Hey, you were there from the beginning. How was it when New Hope first began?" And this past week, my wife and I have been doing some of that reminiscing, thinking about how New Hope was when it first began, because quite frankly, folks, it didn't look like this when we first started. It began in June of 1995, specifically for us, but also for the church. We attended the very first spaghetti dinner to hear Pastor Wayne's vision for this church and to start a church here on Oahu. He was flying in once to twice a week from Hilo. At the very next spaghetti dinner, my wife and I were there. We were bought into the vision. My wife brought in and volunteered and made some spaghetti sauce. I volunteered as a parking and light person. Now, think about this. We didn't have lights like this. What lights were, I can actually say I was the first light technician here. I went to the sidewall and I flipped the light switch, made it on and off so that we could see the overhead projector. That's how it was in the early days. I remember going to our leadership training services for about 3 months before we started in September, that we would literally have to load all of our sound equipment into the van, go and set up, and we used to meet at Nuuanu Elementary School, and Pastor Wayne used to share, and then he used to lead worship, I used to play guitar, and then we'd have to break everything down and take it back to our office in Barataria. And the next week we took an offering, and the following week Pastor Wayne and Dan Shima says, "Well, folks, you're sitting on the chairs that we took from last week's tithe." You know what I mean? Well, that's how it was. And we loaded up the chairs, and we go to the Barataria office and load it all up. Our office was really small. There were three of us in there in the early days. Was Clark Bright, Randy Furushima, and myself. And whenever a call would come for Clark Bright, I'd have to answer that one phone that we had. Pulled extension cord oftentimes used to get wrapped around Randy's neck before I gave it to Clark. I mean, it was tight quarters. It was hard work, but we did it with joy, and we would call that the good old days. I remember the miracles that God had done through that process. I remember the miraculous feeding that happened at the inaugural service on September 10, 1995, where people from Hilo flew in, and we were planning to feed about 200 to 400 people, and 800 came. God stretched the food. I remember going to our first baptism, and there were 100 people there, and I stood there in shock and awe saying, "Boy, this must have been how it was in Jesus' time." And I remember when the Roy Yamamoto gathered with a group of 12 and began doing some outreaches, and today it's the prison ministry that does a whole lot of work and is overseeing about 3,000 to 5,000 people, but began with a group of 12. It all began with humble beginnings, with a lot of hard work. But there's marks of God's miracles over that, over and over again. And if you're ever in the ministry center, I encourage you to go to the second floor and look at the memorial photographs that line the walls that we call the Hall of Faith, that talks about how God did these different miracles and always serve as a reminder for us. Always remember the miracles of the past, how God has met you. Why is that so important? Well, we need to remember the miracles in the past so that we can build memorial stones before the holidays. That's the second thing. We need to build memorial stones before the holidays. Not after, not during, but before. Joshua chapter 4 says this. "So Joshua called together the 12 men and told them, 'Go into the middle of the Jordan, in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulders.'" 12 stones in all. Will you circle the word stone? See, each one had to carry out a stone. Now here, the miracle was going to occur on dry land. Right there was the Ark of the Covenant, and God says, "Go and pick up a stone." He sent 12 men. Each of them picked up these huge stones, and to build a memorial, it had to be pretty big. And they carried it up, and I'm sure they put it on their shoulders, and they put it on the other side of the bank, and 12 stones representing the 12 tribes. You might be one of those 12 stones for your family, for your next generation. God didn't want the people to forget. Will you circle the word shoulder there? Shoulder means to carry. It means it was a burden. It was heavy. Just think about this. Before miracles can occur, there might be some work that occurs. To get to the other side, to fight the battles that they are, there's going to be some things that you have to carry along the way. Now, in the moment, ushers are going to pass out some stones. They would help us remember the miracles that God has done in the past. And I want you, when you receive those, to hold the stones and touch them. You'll be thankful that they're a little bit smaller than the stones they probably did in Joshua's days. Our ushers are certainly thankful. But as you hold and touch these stones, think about what miracles God has done. Think about what he's done in the past that's going to carry you through forward in the holiday season. And reflect upon that. So when you go home, you can write those words in that and stick it in your pocket to remember. Now, just this past week, we had a chance in our class to do an iChat, a video conference with Tommy Walker, the artist who wrote the song, I Have a Hope, There is a Rock. He's also written a song called We Would Remember. And I want you to listen to him as he tells the class. We were in Honolulu, he was in LA, we did it live. And listen to what Tommy has to say about why he wrote the song, We Will Remember.
That is very strange, singing to a computer, let me tell you.
Actually, it was good on our side.
Excellent.
So tell us about how what is the inspiration behind that song?
Yeah, I had this season in my life where there was a lot of unanswered prayers, and I had a couple of family members die of cancer, and though we prayed for them, and just a lot of discouraging things happening kind of one after another, and it just drugged me into this kind of season of doubt and discouragement. And in the midst of that season, I was trying to just hang on for dear life to my faith, you know. And sometimes I think I just want to be a man of faith, not only for myself, but for the sake of my family and for my church family. So I'm just trying to hold on. And here at Christian Assembly, we read through the Bible together. So I was reading through the Bible, and we were in Nehemiah, and then it was that verse where the Lord's telling his people, you've become proud and stiff-necked and arrogant, hard-hearted, because you forgot. You did not remember all the things that I've done for you. And I had the thought that day, you know, when I looked around at my life on that day, I couldn't see anything good that day. All looked discouraging and doubtful. But the Lord reminded me, but you can look back at yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. And I said, okay, today, God, I'm not going to look at this moment, but I'm going to look back and remember. And as I began to look back, of course, I was reminded of the unbelievable grace and mercy and faithfulness that God had shown to me throughout my life. And I just started singing that chorus, we will, Lord, we will remember. And that's it.
That's powerful, Tommy.
Your creator.
Saved me the day I heard you call out my name. You said you love me and you'll never leave me, and I'll never be in the same. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of
song want to make you just stand up and worship? Because we want to be people that remember. We want to be people that remember the miracles that God has done in the past. We want to be a people that can take a look and remember and build memorial stones before the holiday season. Now on your notes, I'll give you some samples and examples of what some of those words or phrases might be for you. It could be a brush of death. I mean, you should have died and yet you're living. Or unexpected provision. You needed to pay a bill and miraculously some finances came. Or it could be a second chance. God has given you a second chance to be reunited with your family, or an opportunity to take a different path. Or you could be the first in your family, first in your family to attend church or to be baptized or to become a Christian. Or it could be employment, just being thankful that you have a job. See, one of the reasons God instructed the people to build these monuments and these memorials was because we and they had a habit of forgetting. As soon as the people heard the instructions of Joshua, they would have thought, you know, we were in a similar circumstance before. They would have thought about Moses and the Red Sea, how God did a miracle for them when they were going to do another miraculous crossing. That time, what all Moses had to do was, of course, the people of Israel were on the bank of the river. You had the Egyptians pursuing them. And God told Moses, just stick out your staff. And then the waters parted at the Red Sea. And the people of Israel walked through. And when the Egyptians came through, the water came by. And it crushed the Egyptians. And once the people of Israel were on the other side, they celebrated. In fact, Exodus 14 talks about the passing. Exodus 15 really talks about the song of celebration that they sang, called Miriam's Song. And guess what? They forgot. This time God says, you know, you're going to be facing some other things. So therefore, I don't want you to forget the miracle that I did back then, the miracle I'm about to do and have just done for you. Furthermore, the Exodus miracle was a different sort because the problems were behind them and God did a miracle before them. And they didn't really have to do anything, really, except cross. It said at that time, it was a step of a trusting obedience. It seemed like this time it was easy. It required little less effort. But this time they'd have to go in front to the River Jordan and cross over. The miracle just didn't happen automatically. In fact, what had happened was it was a season right after the snowy mountain and the snows began to melt. And all the water is rushing down Mount Hermon and engorging the River Jordan, so much so that it's flooding its banks. And so therefore, water is all over the place. And the people saying, wow, we got to get from here to there. We have to cross when the water is the deepest. You got to be kidding. And the miracle occurred as they stepped in the water. You see, God knew for this group of people, it's not the problems in the past. It's really going to be the challenges that are in front of them. It's not only the river, but when they get on the other side of the river, there were going to be more battles that they had to face. So God wanted to necessarily prepare them more by requiring them to take a more trusting act of faith. Haven't you noticed maybe in this time and season of your life, you're saying, why are things a little tougher now for me? Why is it that God just isn't acting right like that? Why is it that He's stretching my faith? Well, it's because God wants to strengthen and deepen your faith. He wants to mature you and take those next seasons. And it's important for us to build these memorials before the holidays because right now we're in a season of recession. There are people losing their jobs. There are more homes that are being foreclosed than ever before. It is like a desert experience. And the Christmas holidays, quite frankly, are a great way for us to medicate our problems. We might think, if I buy this or I buy that, then it'll make me feel happy and I'll forget my problems. And guess what? The devil knows that too. Or we might be tempted to respond to all the ads that say, buy now and no payment for 6 months. Or, da-da-da-da-da, charge. And we go ahead and do that. And guess what? 3 months later, after the holidays, the bills come pouring in and our lives are filled with regret. It's like the water, snow melting, and it's coming down and engorging the rivers. As I was preparing this message, I really felt that God was saying that I'm the God of your promised land. I'm the God of your desert. I'm the God of your future. You see, one of the things that was occurring for the people, and we found that echoed over and over again as we look at the Old Testament, that the people of Israel focused on and worshiped the God of the desert. God carried them through Exodus, through the desert. He was the God that provided. God provided them with food. Every day, all they had to do was wake up and manna was there. It says in Exodus that their shoes didn't wear out, nor their clothes get old. After 40 years of wandering in the desert. So all of a sudden, this God of the desert was a pretty good God. But once they crossed over into the land of Canaan, they saw, wow, their gods over there are making vineyards. The grass is greener on that side there. I'm enticed to follow the God of agriculture. And God is saying, don't forget that. I was the God of your desert. I'm the God in your promised land. And I'm the God of your future. Please hold that dear in your heart. Let us build memorial stones before the holidays so we can remember God's faithfulness without having to medicate ourselves with consumerism to help us feel happy. So we remember the miracles of the past. We build memorial stones before the holidays so that, number three, we know that God is in the middle of our floods. Can you fill that in? God is in the middle of our floods. Joshua chapter 3 says, "Now it was harvest season, and the Jordan had overflowed its banks. So soon as the feet of the priests," underline that, "the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant touched the water at the river's edge, the water began piling up at a town upstream called Adam. And the water below the point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near a city of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle," circle middle, "in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until everyone had crossed the Jordan on dry ground." See, the priests and the Ark of the Covenant waited in the middle. Now, think about this. When the miracle happened at the Red Sea, Moses extended his staff, the waters parted, and the people passed in the middle. On this one here, what had happened was all the water had piled up. The river was engorged, and the priests and the Ark of the Covenant went into the middle, and all the waters piled up, and it couldn't overcome the people. It's like the water and nature knew the powerful and sense of awe of God. And the people were able to pass through. Now, this time, it was dry riverbed all the way to the Dead Sea. And so it was a wide pass. And all the people of Israel who had to cross over, they said they marched over like an army. It was a clear pathway, dry land. And God was in the middle. See, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbolic vision for the people of the presence of God. It kind of looked like a treasure chest. In fact, it was more than a symbol. People encountered God's presence by being by the Ark of the Covenant. Scholars believe that the Ark of the Covenant contained three things. Three things. First thing, it contained the Ten Commandments, the divine word of God to Moses. The Ark of the Covenant also contained the remnants of manna, the divine provision that God had given to the people of Israel while they had walked through the desert. And the third thing, it contained Aaron's fruitful rod or Aaron's fruitful branch, which is God's divine endorsement of Aaron's leadership as he was going to take over for Moses. You see, within that Ark of the Covenant was God's words, God's provision, and God's leadership and guidance. And God will provide us guidance, provision, his word of truth to carry us through in the middle of our circumstances, where we are now, so that we can fight this battle and the next one we're about to face. Now, I asked you earlier to underline the word feet of the priest. As I'd mentioned earlier, the miracle didn't occur immediately. It happened when the priest's feet touched the water. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to think about is that we need not be afraid to step into the promises of God. It may not look like promises, but if we have trusting obedience and take those steps of faith and step into the promises of God, miracles will occur. I'm going to close this message by sharing a story. And if it's all right with you, I'm going to stay relatively close to my notes. I'd like to share with you the story about our decision to move to California and to attend seminary some 4 years ago. It really seemed like an impossible feat for us. The odds were against us, and many questioned why we were going to leave our comfortable life. You see, at that point, I had been with New Hope for about 5 years and church planted out at a New Hope Pearl community in Pearl City. We had grown from about 40 to 400. I had three people, full-time pastors on our staff, so it was pretty comfortable. And yet I felt that God wanted us to go to seminary. And I felt like there was something more that he had wanted to do. So after a year of counseling together, my wife and I knew that it was God's plan for me to go. The difficulty thing was that to go to seminary, it was a graduate program. It was for a master's degree. And I didn't complete my bachelor's degree. I was a semester short from graduating. Yet I really felt that that was God's call. I didn't have a job lined up in California. I didn't even have a place to live. And my two daughters, my oldest daughters at that point, were in high school. Not the best time to move a family. But God's plan remained the same for us, for me to go to Fuller Seminary. It was on January 2004 that I spoke with Pastor Wayne of my decision to move to California and to pursue a master's degree. It was at that point I applied at Fuller, praying that I had heard God right. I stepped in the water. The same month, I took our kids to Kauai and told them of our news. They weren't the happiest, to say the least. And then in February, I made an announcement to our immediate family and New Hope Pearl community of my decision to step down as a senior pastor. Still, I didn't know if I was accepted by Fuller. In March, our family made a trip to California to visit the Fuller campus, and there was still no decision on my application. While we were there, Fuller encouraged us to fill out a student housing application for a 3-bedroom unit, since the wait list for 3-bedroom apartments was 1 year long. So we filled one out. Can you imagine our family already thinking about moving from Hawaii to California, and then thinking that a family of 5 might have to live in a 2-bedroom apartment? And they couldn't even think about moving from a house to apartment at that. But there was still, at that point, no word of acceptance of my application. But in early April, I got news that I was accepted in Fuller. And shortly thereafter, news that there was a 3-bedroom apartment available. That is, praise the Lord. It was a miracle. We booked our flights for June 9th to fly over and started the painful process of getting rid of everything. Once we made a decision to follow God, everything kind of happened quickly. We were still in shock over the decision that we were moving. It was an act of blind faith, but also an act of trusting obedience, because we had to sell everything. It was like walking into a flood and praying that God would rescue us. Upon our arrival in California, the challenges didn't stop there. The first year was the toughest for our family. I worked part-time. My wife had to pick up a full-time job. And that situation drove us to the point that our 2 teenage daughters had to begin working to help us pay for their personal needs. Our income was less than half. We qualified for low-income utility rates. Our kids, for the first time, received a free lunch program. And monthly, I would pick up food from the Fuller Distribution Center, because monthly they would provide free food, and that free food sustained us. I remembered having to skip lunch so that my kids could eat. It was humbling, and we were determined not to incur any debt. We lowered our standard of living only to the things that were essential and necessary. We knew the value of family, a relationship with God, and basically everything else was not a non-essential. It was a major overhaul and a struggle in our life. And you know what? At the end of the year, when our family and my daughters filled out their tax return, we discovered that we had tithed over our 10%. Now, I don't know how that happened. If you're strapped for money, one thing you won't do is tithe over what you need to do. But we did anyway, and we had done it. And if Chansom Cordero was here, he would say, I like one refund, government. But through it all, I can testify on behalf of my family, we'd go through it again. Because 3 years after that was a 180 degree. It was a miracle after miracle after miracle. Too much to mention. One of which was being able to work with an artist, Maranatha recording artist like Tommy Walker. I graduated with my master's. I began my doctorate program, and I returned to Hawaii debt-free. Praise God, you see. Laurie and I had to take a step into the flood. We still had to fight some battles on the other side in order to make the promises of God become a reality. It took a step of blind faith and trusting obedience. Hindsight is always 20/20. Do you think we knew what we were getting into? Do you think we knew what the outcome was going to be? No way. It was scary, but we knew we heard the voice of God, and we knew of the promises of God, and we had to obey. God might be telling you to simplify your Christmas. No overflow of gifts that you can't afford. Or to make a career change. He He might be asking you to take some classes at Pacific Rim Bible College because he has a call on your life. Or maybe he's telling you to make some major changes in your life and live your life based upon the things that you value, like family, relationships, community, and a deeper relationship with God. I want to encourage all of us right now that we will be a people that remember. I would encourage us to step into the river and meet God in the middle. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Pastor Guy, a great and timely message that we need to catch, because sometimes we forget. Many times we just, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You ever heard that before? We get so caught up in the busyness of life and the issues that we face day to day, we forget about the blessings and the miracles God has already performed in our lives. Don't forget what they are. Take that stone and take it home and write something on there that will remind you of where God showed up in a mighty way. Or maybe for some of you, there is a Jordan that you need to cross over. What is that Jordan for you? Where you need to step into that, and then you'll see the faithfulness of God. A lot of times the world says, well, show me first and then I'll believe. Well, what does God say? Believe, then you'll see. And maybe a lot of times it takes us to step into the Jordan, then we'll see the miracles of God. But don't forget when he shows up. Another group that sometimes we forget, out of sight, out of mind, is our military, who's fighting for our freedom in Iraq. And in this season of time where everyone at home is celebrating Thanksgiving and Christmas, many times we forget that there are lonely soldiers on the front lines. Our military ministry got together and they said, well, can we put together like a care package that we can send over to them to remind them of how much they're loved by those here at home? Pastor Wayne got a hold of that idea and he says, great, let's go for it. In fact, let's open it up to the whole church so we can all be a part of this celebration where we can remind the soldiers that they're not forgotten. This care package will have our brand new New Hope magazine that you're going to see next week, and it has some letter from Pastor Wayne, some other gift items that we want them to really treasure in a season of Thanksgiving, to show our thanks to them for what they're doing for us. You know, we have a soldier, his name is Wayne Carter, and he wrote us a letter and said, you don't know what you're doing here and how it's investing in lives overseas. Many soldiers have come to Christ because of the investment that this church has given to and through their lives. He says, sometimes we don't realize here at home what they're doing there, and we have a 9-to-5 job. Their job is 24/7. They don't know when the next threat is just waiting for them on the horizon. And so they're always on call. They're always on pins and needles. But because of the Word of God, their lives are being changed. And so we're going to be putting together this care package. And if you want to be a part of it, we're going to ask us if you would give in a special offering. Also, if you want to help put together these packages, we have some times available at our ministry center on Saturday. 3 different shifts that you can get involved in. You can call our church office, ask for extension 395. There's even a table that's set up on the Lanai area that's taking sign-ups for those who want to get involved. But can we do this together as a church and show the soldiers in Iraq how much they are cared for, that we are not forgetting them? Although we may not see them, we know that the Lord has his eyes on them, but we want them to have a special gift in this season. Ushers, would you go ahead and pass the buckets? And if you can give just $1, or if you want to forego a cup of coffee this week and contribute that to the offering, we just love to have you give from a heart of gratefulness for who they are. But as you give, take a look at this video. It's a wonderful video that reminds us of our soldiers who are fighting for our freedom. Take a look at this.
Thank you.
Let's stand together as we conclude. Thank you for your hearts of giving. And this is Thanksgiving week, so don't forget to give thanks to Him who started it all for us. And if you're on a diet, forget it. Just eat this year, okay? Let's just have fun this Thanksgiving. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for just who you are, Lord, and how you died for us and giving us new life. Father, we will never forget who you are. We pray for our military overseas. We pray that you just cover them with your protection. Would you remind them, Lord, how important they are and how valued they are in your sight? Protect them, protect their families, give them comfort in this season. Lord, we praise you for all that we have from you. We pray that you bless us now as we leave, differently than when we came. We love you in Jesus' name. We pray, amen, amen. Amen. Thank him again, would you?
Thanksgiving. Love on someone as you go.